Erevin Perek Zayin, Mish Yud Aleph, 7:11, and the last of the Perek. The Mishnah says, Nosen Adam Ma'a, a person can give a very small coin, Lechen Vani V'lenachtom, to a shopkeeper or to a baker, K'deisha Yizkalo Erev, in order that he will benefit him by contributing to the Erev, Divrei Rabbi Eliezer, according to Rabbi Eliezer. So what's the setup? According to Rabbi Eliezer, the idea is, later on in the day, the people of the neighborhood are going to end up setting up a shituf or an Erev, and therefore they're going to go to the shopkeeper or the baker to pick up some wine or some bread to set it up. Of course, if it's an Erev Chatzeros, you'll need to have the bread specifically, but we could be setting up here an Erev Tchumen or shituf Mavos, and that would be wine also, etc. So the idea is that the man here in the story is going to give a coin to the shopkeeper and say, when they come to buy supplies from you with the money they collected from everybody around the neighborhood, you should please make a little bit of a larger contribution, add an extra little bit of wine or bread to what they're purchasing for the money I'm giving you here, and then that will be my contribution towards the Eruv. Now, what that would mean essentially, or it looks like it's meaning, is that I'm acquiring a bit of bread from you by giving you money. And now that, under normal circumstances, is simply unacceptable and untenable. There's no such thing by Jews as a kinyan kesef. There's no way you can acquire bread or wine by giving money. Kinyanim acquisitions happen through lifting up of the object, etc. And therefore, under normal circumstances, giving money and saying, okay, I'm giving you money now for bread you'll contribute later on my behalf, that could never be this fellow's bread. However, according to Eliezer, since the whole institution of Erevin and Shetufin are rabbinic in nature and very lenient, and therefore we're going to be lenient in this regard as well, and allow this shopkeeper to do it on his behalf. Now, the Chacham Omrim, Lo Zacha Lo Ma'osav, they say you can't do it that way, because the money itself will not be sufficient to establish a kinyan, and therefore it's just rejected. No, I just rejected, you cannot prepay and then have the shopkeeper pay some food on your behalf. Umodim, but they do agree, the Chum do agree, Bishar kol Adam, Shezach lo ma'osav. When it comes to other people not in the food selling business, those people, if I just go to my neighbor and say, listen, I'm giving you now $1, and when they come to collect the bread for the Erev, please give a little extra on my behalf as well, that would be acceptable. Why? Because when I'm giving you the money, if you're not in the food business, it's understood that I'm not actually doing the kinyan or attempted to make a kinyan and own some of the bread, because that's not effective, says the rabbis. Instead, what it means is I'm asking you for a favor, and you're going to be my agent, and I'm paying you for the service of arranging the Erev for me. And that's what the small contribution is for, not to own the bread per se. You're giving a bread that's a gift from you, and you're being mezakeh it to me, like we had in the previous Mishnayos, and I'm just giving you money to compensate you for the effort and time you're doing to do this service for me. So that will be acceptable, say the Tanna Kamma. Excuse me, say the rabbis, forgive me. Now, the next words of the Mishnah say, She'ein ma'arvin la'adam ela medato, which literally means because you can't make an Erev for a person unless he knows about it. Now, the way that the Bartanura learns, like Rashi, is this is explaining why it's never going to work for the shopkeeper or the baker to establish the contribution on my behalf by giving him money. Because we already established the money can't work in making a kinyan. And furthermore, since that doesn't happen, it'd be like a different gifting, not in my presence, of bread on my behalf. And in normal circumstances, says the Bartanura, you can't do that if a person doesn't know about it when it comes to setting up an Erev. We'll say more about that in a second. Hold that thought. But that being the case, since you can't do it without me knowing about it, and this would be like a separate thing that I didn't necessarily know about, so then it's not going to be valid. Many other Mephorishim reject that approach because it's a little weird for a few reasons. The most obvious being, since I asked you to set up an error for me by contributing, even though technically the money I'm giving is on acquiring the bread that's going to be given to the Erev, but I'm sort of giving authorization that I want it done, so that should be considered kind of like me consenting to it. So many other Mepharshim understand what's happening here is that this shin should be read sort of like as like a vav, And we have this on the Mishnah as well. And we're making a new point in the Mishnah. The Mishnah in general is saying that you can't make an Eruv for somebody without them knowing about it, because the general rule, as he said earlier in the parak, is that you can be zach and admishlo b'funav. You can benefit a person without him being there, but only if it's indeed a zechus, a benefit. If it could mess him up, you can't do it without his consent. And as the, how would it be that you're messing someone up? The answer is, the simple answer is, if we're talking about an Eruv Tchumen, remember we're giving to shopkeepers for wine, etc., so an Eruv Tchumen could be wine, and an Eruv Tchumen sort of redefines the area in which you can walk on Shabbos, and obviously that could mess you up. If you are sort of forced to be on the west side of town when you plan to be on the east side of town, that would be no good. And therefore that's what the Mishnah says here. Rabbi Yehuda says, "B'medavar mamurim." When is it true that you can't do this without a person knowing about it? That's be'erve tchumen. The erev tchumen, since you're setting up a person in the center of his makom shvisa's home base for Shabbos, you are could be messing him up. Aval be'eruve chatzeros, letting a person participate in the joint eruv for the chatzer, that only has upside, no downside, because now he just can carry out his house, and now before he couldn't carry outside his house, so he doesn't have to carry if he doesn't want to, but he's certainly not losing anything by having the option to carry out. And therefore, ma'arvin ledato v'shlo ledato. You could contribute to a person so he's part of your, on his behalf, so he's part of your Eruv, whether he knows about it or otherwise. L'fisha zachan ladam shlo b'funav. You could do a zechus, a benefit for a person, even if he doesn't know about it, not in front of you. V'ein chavin la'adam shlo b'funav. In contrast, you can't mess a guy up and obligate him to do something which is not good for him unless he consents. And that's why the Erev Tchumen can be a problem, but not the Erev Chatzeros. There is a side point here. We discussed the possibility of perhaps if you have two Chatzeros, you have to choose one or the other, that could be a detriment to you, and therefore wouldn't he be permitted to shlo b'funav and not in front of you? Maybe if yes, then yes. Other Mevorshim reject that as well, and it's not a problem, but in any case. But the case of our mission, not like that. Our case of our mission is a conventional case of a person and his regular chatzer, so then you could do it not b'funav. And the halach is indeed like Rabbi Yehuda, that you can do shlo b'funav, you can do it without him being there, if you're talking about an heir of chatzeros, assuming you're not messing him up in any way, but not for the heir of tchumen, because then you potentially really are messing him up.